I'd like to call the meeting to order.
Thanks.
We have a flag. Kevin has agreed to do the honors.
Of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I like that
flag. Hey, that flag's better than.
That flag moves.
Nice.
It's better than the one that's on our pole.
The cool flag.
That's.
Now I need a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
To approve. Second.
Whoa. Bill and Robert?
Bill and Robert.
If you don't want to do the meeting, don't do the meeting. Otherwise, call me these things and let's go.
That's what we're doing. Any discussion on the agenda?
Correction.
There is a correction that needs to be made at the very bottom. Agenda items for the next Academic Senate meeting, which is January 25th, are due by Thursday, January 20th, not Wednesday, January 26th. Any further discussion?
Is it going to be on the web?
But yes. Any motion to approve the agenda with the amendment or correction?
So moved.
Thank you, Robert. Philip, second. Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of approving the agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I need a motion to approve the minutes from our last meeting in November.
Move to approve.
Okay, I got Robert and Kevin. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion. All those in favor of approving the minutes from our last meeting signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Anyone abstaining? Aye. Public forum. Is there anyone that would like a few minutes to say something during public forum? Quiet bunch today. We're tired. Right. Announcements. Are there any announcements? No. Leadership reports. The only thing that I have to say is please remember that your grades are due January 5th. All I have to say. Vice President.
Me?
Nothing.
Nothing. Secretary.
Campus is closed next week.
Yes, all of next week. So if you can, make sure you come in Thursday or Friday to clean out that mailbox for the wonderful correspondence.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays.
Yay. All right, committee reports. Kevin.
I've got one from Title III. Some of us have been discussing plagiarism and how that seems to be making the rounds once again. In conversation with Larry, he's done some research, and we're going to be looking into a program called Turn It In. Some of us may have used it at other locations or something, or its sibling, SafeAssign, which is owned by Blackboard. Turn It In is supported by the Sakai platform. Now they're going to be looking into seeing if we can get a little cheaper version, not knowing how many of us would actually utilize it. But one of the good things about programs like this is that it creates a database of assignments that are generated into it. So that would potentially slow down recycled papers from one student to another, one semester to another. So we'll report back to you in the spring on that one. And the second issue, just dealing with the bridge itself, we're going to see if there's a way to disable aspects of testing, quizzes, and things like that where the student cannot copy-paste the assignment. this is a way that I've found out that they have found out that they can pass work around this way. For example, if I have an assignment that's open for a week and a student takes it today, gets the results back, gets the answers back, copy paste the whole assignment, give it to their buddy can then turn it in with all the correct answers.
That's great.
I found this out because my answer key had a wrong answer. I misspelled it. It was totally my fault. And so many people were misspelling it too. I thought, how in the world did you misspell that the same way you had it right? So many, and then I go, oops, could have had a VA. So we're going to be looking into seeing if there's a way to disable copy paste on behalf of the students, and if there's certain aspects that we can allow them, such as documents and things like that, as opposed to assignments that are a little more sensitive. So we'll report back to you on that as we know more information.
I'd like to piggyback just for a second. Richard and I have both had issues this semester with students, and he went and spoke with Diana today. She gave him a copy of a document from the transfer's office, and I've asked that he scan it and post it on the website, and it lays out what we can and cannot do under the law as far as students that are caught cheating. So we'll have that up next semester. Philip and then Bruce.
I attended a college council meeting last week in which we discussed, if some of those you remember, I brought up an attendance policy to this group. We're going to continue working on that policy, meeting with Diana Rodriguez at the beginning of next year. It was also made aware that as faculty, we do have the right to drop students for spotty attendance up until the census date. So it's not just that no-show, but anybody with spotty attendance, you have the right to drop them from your roster.
Okay, thank you. Bruce?
Do you have any mechanism in place with the law?
Out of order. I'm sorry, Paul. Point of Bruce was next, and then, yep.
It's called the Ed Code.
Don't forget the back of the master student book. Many of you have students taking their class, that there is that pamphlet in there that I had bound in there about plagiarism. So,
oh, they know what it is.
But there's a whole booklet on there. So they have that class, and you have to make that booklet.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, did you have any more, Paul?
Yeah, I wanted to know if using the colleague, you can actually go and drop the students with party attendance. I think there's a deadline for no-shows, and it's, you know, drop. I
mean, you just have to, there's nothing on Datatel that you would have to do it by
manually
okay. Letting the registrar's office, and they will be able to drop that.
Okay, any other committee reports? Brian?
I have a couple of them, but I can do it in a minute or so, please. You all see them.
Okay.
Student Outcomes Committee met earlier today, an hour at 2 o'clock, and we basically began reviewing possibilities for institutional learning level learning outcomes at Calgary College. The very preliminary discussion, we basically looked at other colleges and what they have done in this area. Program Review Committee met also this morning, and we reviewed five vocational programs and approved them all. This is like the second or third reading of those programs. So those are completed. Those are short-term, two-year program reviews. I think the five-year program reviews, I don't know exactly who they are, but those will be coming up next semester. And finally, Curriculum Committee from last week, I don't know if I'm stealing someone's thunder here, but Curriculum Committee met. I'm not going to report on the curriculum committee business, but rather on the course outline template was revised and approved by the curriculum committee, and it's in the agenda later today for consideration by the Senate.
Okay, thank you. Other committee reports. Louise?
Yes, the Basic Skills Committee met last weekend, and we are undertaking some mentoring for the math faculty with the new HOCS system for next semester. Our goal is to get our adjunct faculty up to speed, and we're also are looking to try to do some kind of mentoring with English adjuncts in meals. So one of the areas of the concern for the Basic Skills Committee is our adjunct faculty members, so we're concentrating this coming semester on trying to work with them, as well as bringing our full-time faculty member continuing to mentor to train them in the programs. So we've got quite a bit going on. We have one of our adjunct counselors out this semester, pregnancy leave, so we don't have as much help. So anybody who, we have some students who are in basic skills classes that need a little bit more counseling and assistance in deciding in their classes, please send them to me. I can give them kind of a layout about what they need before they show up next door. So I'm happy to help with anything as an interim project before they stand in line, because as I know how busy everybody is over there. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Any other committee reports?
Topics for Flex are online learning, reviewing the distance ed document, and safety. Maybe some other little.
Thank you. One more call for committee reports. All right, there are none. All right, information item. Hortensia requested a little time on the agenda.
Basically, I just gave an update of the last webinar that was on the 3rd, the 9th and the 13th, SB 1440. It was just a review on saying what new disciplines are out, and I gave an informational presentation for the curriculum committee regarding how it's going to look for us for the spring semester. And what's going to be happening is that right now there's 13 disciplines. By the end of spring, there's going to be around over 20. So it's encouraged, and please, for the disciplines, the divisions chairs or faculty, to look into these TMCs, which is the transfer model for curriculum. There are out. There's some classes that we do have, there's some that we do not. So we gotta look at is, one of the things that the main thing is, it's really a guaranteed admissions for the student that's gonna go into the CSU system. So we're gonna have some homework for spring. So, and adopting these, or either revamping or.
But we don't have to do every program or every course.
No.
Thank you, Hortensia. Okay. New business. We have two action items. The first one is Senate seat sponsorship. I would like to ask the Senate as a whole if you would like the Senate as a group or the faculty as a group to sponsor one seat in the Performing Arts Center. I think if we each did $5, we'd have enough for a seat.
Second.
Any discussion?
I like it.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right.
All those opposed?
We'll be tarred and feathered.
How do you collect the money?
You can give it to me anytime. I'm actually putting in a little extra. I decided as a gift for my two officers I would put in their $5. So Merry Christmas, Kurt. But yeah, you can give it to me. And I had to find all the different ways that we could identify who the seat is sponsored by and stay within 15 characters. And it was PVC faculty 2011 or 2010, depending on when we get the seat. We couldn't even get Academic Senate to fit. So it'll be PVC faculty 2010 or 2011, whichever year we decide, if that's okay. If you have another idea, something comes up, email it to me, and I'll count the characters.
That's nice.
Okay, so if anybody is wanting to put forth $5 or even a little more, just go ahead and give it to me, and I'll keep my stash and keep it locked up, I promise. No more open door in my room.
Are you going to keep this
for safety? Locked up. Yeah, I said locked up. Mr. Ponder.
I would think that we all remind our students from time to time that we're all on candid camera. And guys.
Not on the second floor.
No second floor?
Not right now, but after this incident, they will be installing cameras in the hallway. It's now been moved from, we don't have the money, to a priority.
So,
because I'm sure I won't be the last.
Get attacked out in the parking lot before we put cameras out there. Okay, I understand.
Yeah, see, once there's a problem, then we're going to fix it.
That's how we always have it.
But.
There are some cameras in there.
All right. So, Senate seat, we're all for it. I promise I will not keep that money anywhere where anyone's going to take it. If they do, I have to cough it up. Right? All right, second item is curriculum committee has asked that we look at and approve the new course outline template. The template reflects all of the modalities of teaching that we have, which is something that the state is asking for. And I'm going to leave it to Brian if he has any more he wants to say.
I'll just give a quick introduction to what the curriculum committee asked three of us to look at the template. Actually, four people: Philip Clinton, Kevin Oak, Lisa Holmes, and myself. To form a little subcommittee to look at the course outline template specifically with the eye, with the thought in mind that we would address the presentation requirements, that we differentiate courses by modality, specifically face-to-face, distance learning, and online, if I'm getting it correct. There's lots of peculiarities. For example, ITV classes that many of us teach with meals is actually considered a distance learning class. I'm asking to explain to you why, but that's the way to view it. So, we've incorporated it that way. So, by the way, just one other comment. In addition to incorporating those three modes, we also made some other changes in the outline template that had really been needed to be made for some time. I can explain those later if you like. But it's really, the idea was to look at the whole thing and clean it up. But specifically, the idea was to incorporate those three modes of deliver courses all in the single course outline. So for example, if you teach a chemistry 101 class, distance ed, and face-to-face, you would have one course number, as usual, Chem 101, but would also have one course outline template. Incorporates those two or more modes. So with that,
so if we just start on the front page, we'll go through this as quickly as possible. I think I've been given 5 minutes to do this, so if you have questions, go ahead and ask. On the front page, at the very top, you'll see the new box in the upper right-hand corner. This is just to facilitate keeping track of approval dates so that we can go to revisions, things like that. It'll allow the Office of Instruction and the instructors, as well as to see if a course has been approved for the three different levels, as Brian was just mentioning, face-to-face, correspondence, and distance ed. Move to the question.
Does this mean that elementary algebra, which has a different course number now for face-to-face and distance ed, will be prone to one number with different patterns?
Let's put a disclaimer. First off, those of you who are wondering, you will not have to rewrite your course outline until it comes due. So there is no panic involved in this. You're not going to have to run out and rewrite all your course outlines until the natural course takes place and they become expired. Unless, there's one asterisk there, you plan on teaching correspondence education or distance education using the bridge or the online mode. All right. In that case, if you're going to teach online, you then need to rewrite your course outline. Okay. No, the numbers will not change. They will be, as Brian said, the exact same numbers.
Okay, it was
all.
If an instructor has taught online,
your grandfather did.
Okay.
All right. So So those of you who, for that course and that course alone, not the Lincoln grandfather clause. Down at the bottom of the page, I believe we made changes to prerequisites, co-requisites, and advisories. A little bit of discussion on that. We cleaned it up, and there will be a prerequisite justification form, which is available online. Second page, we kept objectives and learning outcomes as is, no change to that. Course outline and scope, moving down the page, I believe is the same, except for we made a few changes to number 2 and 4, and perhaps 5. Right.
Yeah,
we just cleaned it up, and we basically kept it clean and simple for you guys. No offense.
Just kind of because these questions on this page 1 through 7 are generic questions referring to all the courses, all the modes, distance
right.
learning. So everyone answers those questions.
Right.
Then subsequent sections focus on the different modes.
And the first mode is the face-to-face course section. So if you plan to just teach face-to-face, this is the last page, or last section, rather, that you would have to fill out. And we can go through these questions each individually. Some of them haven't changed. For instance, A and B did not change. C changed. We came up with basically a blanket statement that you're feel free to use. Instructors shall make reasonable efforts to protect the confidentiality of students' grades and graded work consistent with practices described in the FERPA. So that suffices. If anything else that you want to add is up to you. And then, of course, B, if it has a lab component, just is asking you to describe how that lab work is to be conducted and how the students are to be advised. And then at the very bottom, we decided to put in a note that just encourages students to, if they needed it, to be directed towards the SPMS office today. All right, now the big changes come on the next two sections, where we had to break down the two different types of modes other than the face. So number 9, correspondence education, includes correspondence, which is what we do with the inmates, and hybrid correspondence, which is any sort of variation of that using an online component or a face-to-face component. I take that back, not the online component. I take that back. That's in the next section. And you can read at your leisure there what a correspondence education is. Definition as well as hybrid courses. The big changes here include C, where we described how regular effective contact between the instructor and student is maintained. There was some discussion in the committee and subcommittees. What is regular and effective contact? So we decided instead of writing specifications, we decided we'd write a suggestion where we just suggest that regular effective contact includes, but not limited to, exams, quizzes, essays, research, et cetera, including postings on the bridge. This allows us to basically state that we're doing this without putting a number to it. We felt that even though the general idea is 9, minimum of 9 contacts is appropriate, we didn't want to stick a number on it. Yes.
How is independent study affected by this? Independent study is because they have the same course number, they have to follow counter study.
Well, independent study isn't one of the 3 modes of delivery, so I would imagine that it would come under your base. It would come under whatever that course was initially offered as. I don't believe we offer a course strictly as an independent study.
No, what I'm saying is, suppose there's a student who comes up and says, I want to take chemistry 101 as an independent study. Which category would you fall under?
Probably hybrid.
Hybrid?
Because you have face-to-face components and
kind of distance learning will fall under whatever course outline has been approved.
No, see, for example, Chemistry 101 is offered in both face-to-face and online. That's
well,
the same course.
It would be offered in one of those two, because those two have been approved, but not the third one. Because we couldn't offer it as something that hasn't been approved yet. So the independent study would go in as whatever on the front page. If it's one, if it's two, if it's three, if it's one and three, whatever.
Isn't an independent study also a separate contract? So that you would outline your, I guess, curriculum there, special circumstances there. All right, for brevity's sake, let's move on. Letter D, this was again discussed on how to verify an individual submitting work is actually that individual. We basically cut and paste without spending a lot of time rewriting and reinventing the wheel. This is exactly what ACCJC policy is, and Brian, I believe, tweaked this a little bit. Brian, did you want to specifically point out where you tweaked it, if you recall? I think it was basically where the secure log and the password.
Yeah, I can't quite remember, but if I tweaked it, it was in our favor.
Okay.
So to make it more reasonable. The principle is just, as Philip said, is how do you identify an online situation or even a business correspondent, how do you identify the student? It's a little tedious for us to worry about when the inmates are living, who they say they are. So our thought was a blanket response like this covers it all. And that if you're doing it online, then some kind of login or password type of thing. So
the consensus was we could only do so much without rewriting this big, huge, gigantic policy on how to verify a student as a student. So we pared it down to what their policy is. Letter E, what procedures do we have in place to verify a student is able to succeed? Again, we kept it down. We didn't want to write specifications, so we wrote suggestions. Including might consist of a short assessment questionnaire, either administered by the instructor or self-administered, online questionnaires, things like that. So this is, again, just a suggestion allowing you the freedom to come up with any pre-test, post-test, or of that nature, so that you can gauge whether your student is able to complete the course successfully. Moving down the list, F again is a suggestion. It goes back to FERPA. It's the same cut and paste that we saw in the previous section, so there's no change to that. Again, G, no change. Of course, has a lab component. How would that work be done? How would it be evaluated as far as the student work is going? And then letter H is unique. If a course requires specialized equipment, including computer and computer software or other equipment, identify that equipment and then describe how it's going to be accessed to the students. So if you're teaching a hybrid that uses any sort of submission by software, i.e. a PowerPoint presentation or Word or computers doing CAD design, things like that, you would have to specify out how the students would access that, any sort of equipment that you would need, and then how would that equipment be maintained within your division. All right, no questions on 9? All right, number 10. A lot of this is going to be similar because some of the questions are exactly the same. Including A through H. So it's the exact same. It's just this section will be written specifically to how you will teach an online component or ITV or hybrid version of it. Floor is open to discussions.
I think we need to have a motion on the floor first.
Oh, that's exotic.
Yeah, okay. David,
second.
Second by Brian. All right, the floor is now open. If there are any discussions on the course template, Bijou.
for the last page, we had a situation where we changed from the old textbook in math to a new system of software. This word seems to suggest representative. It's not a conclusive list. So anytime any change is made in the textbook, does it have to go through the curriculum committee again?
No, it's only your department. It's a department decision. Next time when you bring up the course outline, whatever textbook, you have to use it, that's the next thing.
Or any other current versions, or editions rather, that you would be willing to, that would be representative of the textbook that you use.
Any other discussion? All right, all those in favor of approving this template, please signify with a raise of hands. All those opposed? All those who abstain? One abstention. Brian, would you like to inform the Office of Instruction or would you like me to inform them?
Whatever you like.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, once Office of Instruction has been informed that we have approved their template for curriculum, it will go up on the college website for curriculum, so if you want to go in, look at it, start playing with it, or adjusting any of your course outlines, you will be able to do so. Bill?
One of the things that we talked about was filling it out the first time and getting verbiage that's comfortable for all of us. We were thinking that perhaps a block in the next flex day where you would break off into your individual divisions / departments, pick up one of the core classes that you teach and work that over for the three different modes.
Good idea.
Just an idea.
On the list?
Too late for February.
Too late, but it's on the list.
Okay.
Okay. All right. New business, item B, first reading, resolution 2010-3. Got it up there? Before we can begin any discussion, we need a motion on the floor.
So moved.
Okay. Bill and Barb. Floor is now open for discussions. Bijou.
Okay, my question is regarding point number 3 on the second page, line 42. It is requiring every college level or transfer level class at PVC to have these requirements. And when I last revised for chemistry, I thought it was taken care of by requiring certain prerequisites in English and math. I don't see why we need to have these assignments told to us. Isn't that infringement upon how I'm going to test the students?
Bruce.
There's a lot of questions like that to me, and I just read it the other day, and I'd like to have more time to take a look at that. And I think maybe over the holidays we could read it better. I think we're kind of busy. And then maybe sometime in February we can come back and take a look at it. But there's things all over the place I'd like to read and think about a little bit better.
Is that a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Second.
Okay, Bruce made a motion. There's been a second from
Scott.
Any discussion on that? Motion.
Robert has his hand.
Robert has his hand up.
I point out this has been on the Senate's agenda since last spring. I'd also say that I can certainly see things here that would deserve reworking, but I would challenge anybody in the room to show me any study of college-level education that says that multiple choice, true, false, and fill-in-the-blank formats are adequate to students, because everything I've ever seen in 30 years of teaching says, and the state of California says this again and again and again, the Academic Senate says it again and again and again, the AAUP says it again and again, everybody says it. If your students aren't writing and doing meaningful research, they ain't learning, period.
No, I've seen studies that I've seen that.
Could you send
me
copies?
Okay. Just a reminder, the motion on the floor is to address it in February.
I kind of agree with you, but there are states that say
I'd really like to see it.
Okay.
Because everything I've ever seen says professional competence commands it.
Thank you, Robert. Greg, and then Dr. Garcia.
I was just wondering if this... also gets into the whole concept of academic freedom, collective bargaining. I mean, is this a binding resolution that we agree to this? We're in a sense bound to this? Or is this really a collective bargaining issue or somewhere in between? And maybe we should study and research that.
Senate resolutions are not binding. They only become binding if the board picks them up and decides to make them board policy. That's when they become binding.
But then they would have to negotiate with us on those points, wouldn't they?
That I couldn't answer you. I'm not a union person.
Because that would be
a bad one. Okay, Dr. Garcia and then Philip.
With respect to the kind of exams we give to our students, I believe that the exams he doesn't want are very appropriate for some of the courses I teach. Math, they are very appropriate. Those three kinds are very good, and they show knowledge very well. So perhaps in other areas like English or biology or whatever, they require essays, but not in math, not in science in general. I disagree with that entirely.
Philip?
I want to second what Beechu said, that certain classes, as well as Dr. Garcia, certain classes, it doesn't necessarily fall into what we're trying to accomplish here. And then secondly, I think our students on number four is on the same page. Our students already, yes.
To a point of order, the motion on the floor is to move this to February to discuss it further, basically tabling it, and I think we're getting into full discussion of items on the resolution itself.
Is there a second on the motion?
Yes, there was a second by Scott. And then discussion started going towards the resolution again, and the discussion should be focused on the motion as to whether or not we should take more time with it and visit it on February, ready to kick its butt if that's what you want to do. Okay. All right. Brian, you did have your hand up. Is the discussion towards that motion?
Yeah, I think we have 15 minutes. There's nothing else on the agenda. I say let's take another 10 minutes to discuss it and carry it over to the next meeting. I mean, let's use some time to discuss it.
Well, we have to discuss that motion to carry it over.
Right. So I would recommend voting against the motion.
I would recommend voting for the motion because clearly we disagree among the science people and the English people, and everyone is not quite in sync with exactly what's going on. I personally think that by, instead of listing the exact multiple measures that people are being measured by, having just say that if the instructors will use multiple measures might be a resolution to that. But clearly there's a lot of discussion in this room.
I'd like to call for the question. All those in favor of basically tabling this and being prepared to visit it in February's meeting, signify by raising your hands if you are in favor.
Greg, are you?
Those opposed to waiting till February, signify by raising your hands. Six. Abstentions? One. All right, that is the way that it is. So under future business, there you go. February's agenda will contain this resolution. If you have documentation or evidence to support your arguments, I say make copies and bring it to the meeting with you.
I have a question just for the record. When we come back to it in February, will it be counted as a second reading or a continuation of the first reading?
I would continuation of the first reading.
Clarify something. Our next meeting actually put it here agenda. It says January 25th. So you're still
the motion was February.
I move that we continue the discussion of this matter on the next meeting of January 25th. I don't think it makes any sense to continue it in February in recognition of lots of points that this has been on the agenda for 6 months.
Brian, so it's already been voted on for February. And it's already been voted on for February's meeting, and it passed 27.
January 25th?
It's already been voted on.
Second.
I'm sorry, point of order. Perfectly legitimate motion and second. After all, we're not talking about reading it, we're talking about continuing the discussion the next meeting. If folks don't want to do that, that's fine.
All right, so another motion on the floor that we go to January, seconded by Robert. Discussion on changing the date from February to January.
I think it's a good idea. Bruce's suggestion was February, and I thought the last point February, too. I looked at your agenda. It's a January 25th. It's a whole month away.
A week after we get back, Brian.
Yeah, he's got a point. Is there any other discussion on Brian's motion?
Just remind Brian that the motion on the floor was to continue discussion in February. It was already passed.
He made another motion.
But he's trying to make a motion to bring it back or
no,
say forget it.
The next meeting. That's all.
The next meeting.
January.
Talk about it this meeting. Let's talk about the next one, which is
January 25th. Okay. All right. Louise had her hand up first.
The January meeting, we are still in the midst of registration, et cetera. To fully participate, it would be really nice to wait until February. Just add that as a thought. Because it's really, you know what's happening, and it is registration period still.
All right. Bruce?
That's good.
She said. Okay. I'm going to call for the question. All those in favor of readdressing the resolution in January's meeting, signify by raising your hands.
Yes.
Hands. Two, three, four, five. Good. How did that happen? All those opposed, signify by raising your hands.
Yes.
Take it outside.
11, 15, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24.
All right, those who are abstaining, all abstentions, thank you. I love how the vote shifted. David?
No. I meant to say May.
How about July?
I may have to censor you. All right. So the resolution will be visited in February's meeting. Before there's a motion to adjourn. There are members that are sitting in here who have not signed in, so So please double check. Make sure you did sign in.
Yeah.
I need a motion to adjourn. Merry Christmas.
Was it something I said?
Just say it.
Bye. Hallelujah.
Well, I wonder if you